Hello, I'm on the air. Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook. We had a little technical difficulty there for just a second, and now we're just up and running, and it's bbsradio.com. Welcome to my inner world. I'm about to tell you who I am, my vital statistics, where I came from, and how I evolved into who I am today. The I am in me. I'm laying on my sofa, very relaxed, very calm. Let's take a moment and just meditate a second, which is listening within ourselves. There we go. My center. In Jesus' name, I ask you to speak for me, think for me, talk for me in every way, shape, and form, in all the creations known as the knowing of who I am in me, in thy name, and all the holy angels, and all that there are. Amen, amen, amen. Hello. Okay, now, when I was a little girl, I was maybe 1.5 to 2 years, not quite 2 years old, because it's my brother's birthday today, and he was in my mama's belly. She had on a brown outfit, and she had big, huge buttons, and I was standing up at St. Luke's Lutheran Church, standing up in the pew. I had on patent leather shoes, little fox that rolled down, so cute. I had a crinoline on, I remember that, because it itched and drove me crazy. And then I had on a blue dress, and it had the satin brown, the little blue trim. My hair was done in pin curls, from where my mother had pin curled it with bobby pins the night before. Because it was Easter Sunday. It was Easter Sunday. And you know what? This woman jerked on my dress. And I mean, about made me fall down. All of a sudden, my mother grabs my legs. I woke up like that. Every emotion of love, intense love of my mother's arms, the emotion and feeling of that woman's hatred, anger on her face as she jerked my dress, and her red lipstick and her big white earrings that she had on that were the size of the center of the palm of my hand. And she had her hair all dewed up, and she had a little hat on with a little veil over it. And I could smell the church. I could see where my grandparents were sitting. I could see where my aunts and uncles were sitting. I could see it all. I could feel, hear, see, think, know, everything. Because it was so traumatic to me that I woke up just like that. And I can tell my parents and I could tell my family exactly what went on from then on out. For the next day, we were standing out on the curb waiting on my father to come, and there was bricks sticking up on the sidewalk, and I fell across them because I could barely walk. And my mother said, you better not make me go into the house because your father might get angry that we're not standing outside waiting to move. And so there went a fear into my body, mind, spirit, and soul, the fear of angry. Of anger. I was not even 2. But when you're told no the first time, is when you go into that forest, the million-mile journey. And the fear, we are here. I know I am here to conquer the fear. Because fear is courage that said its prayer. And so thus, from then on out, I could remember it all. And so then, I played with this angel. Her name was Evelina. And my mother said, that's really okay that you see Alina. I was 4 years old, and I went into my mother's bedroom because Alina told me, E-L-E-N-I-A or E-L-E-N-A, with a little hyphen on the side of it. She said, I'm going to always be with you, always for eternity, for I am here for you. But I'm going to have to go now. I'm going to have to go for a little while because you have to learn on your own. I had a kaleidoscope in my hand, and I would stare at it. My baby brother David was just born, and there was five of us in 5 years. I was the second child. I laid in my mama's and daddy's bed that night, and I've got that bedroom suit to this day because it's so special to me in that very own special way. And I laid there, and I said, Mama, Alina's leaving. Daddy, Alina's leaving. But she's going to be with me. I could barely put it into words. I was just four. And so I looked into the kaleidoscope, and I bid Alina goodbye into seeing my sight. And Mama said that it could be from the electric blue blanket of the energy waves that were laying up the, at the end of the bed. I said, no, Mama, can you see Alina? She's standing right there. And Mama saw Alina. And then I went on the journey, the long, long journey. I felt like I was hanging upside down in a tree, you know, from the, like a monkey bar tree. And the world was right side up. Let's take a moment and reflect that. I felt like I was a miscarriage that happened. I didn't quite understand anything. It's time for me to sit up now. Everyone wake up. Okay. Now, we are evolving. We're evolving into the I am in me. Yes. I had a hard life. A stern, stern, strict life, Southern Baptist life. My dad was a Mason. He got his 33 degree at age 28. I didn't quite understand it. My mother used to say she had circle time. And Mary, Mary, Mary. I kept hearing the name Mary. My great-grandmother used to have different seances and stuff at her house and different things as that. And at the age 13, I told my grandmother, my great-grandma, Holzhauser, Nordman, DeWater, Advancelon, I said, Grandma, you're supposed to hand me the cameo that your great-grandmother gave you. Thus, the Wiccan ways were born into me from age 4 to age 13. Mixed with the Christianity of the St. Luke's Lutheran Church, the strict Southern Baptist of Preacher Memorial Baptist Church. And there, I didn't even remember it until not too long ago. I said, how do I know these things, God? He says, I'm the know. I'm the knowing. I'm the all-knowing thing. We have to get between the wise, dumb, W-I-Z-E-D-U-M-B, which is wisdom. We have to learn from the hardships, the hard times, and the good times mixed in there, sprinkled with a dash of love. But we've got to like first, remember that? Now let me bring you up into my ages of riding horses so much. I got my horse, my first horse at age 2. I know everything about a horse that there can be and imagine. Finesse is on my front page, riding in the buggy. She was my, she had a tattoo on her lip. My dad and mom made me learn how to do dressage, open jumping, fox hunting, all of it. My horse's name was Fair Lady. Daddy said I was a green rider. But I got on Fair Lady, the five-gated show horse, and I rode that horse like nobody's business. But she wouldn't let anybody else ride it. No one. And so I thought to myself, I've got the reins. I can't have the reins. God's got to have the reins. I'm the passenger. If I allow God to drive me, then I can look at the scenery along the way and never get lost because everything's a message. We have to listen for the times instead of looking for the times. Because you know what? Little seeds are planted along the way, everywhere along the way. But what kind of soil do we use? It depends on that thought process. Do we use a good rich soil for it to last for eternity, forever and a day? The rich, rich, rich soil? Or do we just throw it into the gravelly soil? What kind of thought process are we going to use? Because the mind and the spirit and the body are what the spirit evolves in. But God, Almighty, the Creator, breathes breath into us. Remember? And He gives us the gift of soul. We are only created out of the Creator's soul. That is His gift to us, for it to evolve. But spirit and soul equal one another. They balance one another. I lit a red candle. Let me tell you about the color red. Are you with me? Do you understand? The color red is passion. It's the passion. You look up passion in the dictionary, and it equals Jesus dying on the cross. Yes, it does. Certainly does. Wake up. Now, it's evolved. Here we go. The mixture of the Wiccan ways with the Christian ways. The only thing that I didn't believe in, and I still don't, is the worship of idols of gods and goddesses in the symbol meaning. The statues. Not that they didn't evolve and become, because they did. Everything in creation that we manifest and make is what we are. Because the great mystery, think of this, we're always trying to solve the mystery, right? I repeat things from along the way that I've had in my archives, only because we need to have it remembered over and over again to make the route and the synapses of the neurotransmitters that fire in our brains. We have to use our brains for our thinking process. But we listen with our hearts, because our minds are man-made. Now realize this. God gave us the breath of life. He breathed into us. And also, we're here to reproduce. Those are the two things. Remember, soul is man. Now I'm going to bring you up into when I was brutally beaten and raped. So severely that it woke me up completely like you wouldn't believe. The man got 32 years in prison, by the way. Anyway, I suffered a PTSD, is what they called it, post-traumatic stress disorder. So I started going to a counselor. And then I also went to school for becoming a counselor. And I learned all about the brain and how to wake up like that. And how to place, if you hold your hands out, your dominant hand, okay? Now place in your dominant hand all the positiveness. All the positiveness of all the good thoughts. Now place in your hand that is opposite you all the negative thoughts. Every time you think of a negative thought, place it in your non-dominant hand. Now you place the positive thoughts in your dominant hand. Whether you're right-brained or left-brained, it's the opposite. I'm so left-handed that my right hand is here. It helps me snap, click, you know, and do whatever. It's there for a great purpose. But I'm so right-brained that it's almost beyond the left-brained's comprehension. So I started learning to draw. I learned to draw upside down and covering my hand up. And being able to do it like that. And so then, I became this artist of seeing three-dimensional. I went to the eye doctors. I went to the ear doctors. I went to every doctor I could imagine, because I saw auras around everything. Everything. If you Google my name, or Yahoo my name, or AOL my name, or search my name with any search engine, dog, pile, whatever. Excuse me. And you come up with 1992, Only Debbie Knows Meditations. I talk in a tape recorder all the time because no one could understand what was going on in my eyes while I could see auras. It was like I would look at a picture on the wall, and then when I turned my head, I would see the picture on the other wall. And I started seeing things. Because you know what I did? I stood at the ocean's inlet and the ocean waves where they meet, and I raised my hands so high. My feet buried, and I always dig up stones at midnight. And I think it's called Statesville. Near Statesville, yeah. And they have the biggest gem mine that there is. I just love the dirt and mud. And so I buried the crystals and the rocks and the stones into the sand and let them sift out. And I thought of the thousands of people and the billions of people being the little pieces, grains of sand. And that's what everybody is. And I thought, God is the greatest vast of the oceans and the ocean waves that come crashing in are the islets on his glorious gown, as the halo in the moon and the stars and the are his holy angels. And everything sings as I stood at the ocean inlet's bottom. And I said, I'm directing the stars, the unraveling stars. I said, okay, God, take me now. Take me now and show me everything. I am ready to do your work. I dedicate every part of me to you. Take away all people, places, and things that are not of your will, Lord. Oh, God, creator of all things imagined. And bring into me all people, places, and things that are of your will. Speak for me, think for me, do for me, hear for me, know for me. Wake me up. Bam, I got a divorce. Bam, people started moving out of my life. Bam, all these things started happening to me. I thought I was going to lose my mind. I grabbed hold of the carpet. If I could grab hold of the carpet, then I would not die because there was an undertow. And I was on the outside edgings of the water, but there was an undertow tugging and pulling at me to go to the vast bottomless pit of the ocean's depths. And then I realized a woman. Like I read, men are from Mars, women are from Venus one time for school. And it said, he said, let me get that book, because I got to tell the author's name. It's right here, because I keep it out. Because men are from Mars, women are from Venus. John Gray, Ph.D., Making Peace with the Opposite Sex Men, Women, and Relationships. That's that one. Okay, but anyway, oh, yeah, I was talking. You see, we have to evolve into what we see, feel, think, and do with allowing the Creator, the knowing, to drive us. Because if we ask it, we're going to receive it. Because if we speak it out there, it's going to come right back to us. As a matter of fact, when you talk to other people, you're a mirror. That's what you are. You're a mirror image. Because you know why we're a mirror image? Because we have to hear ourselves think, feel, see, and do in order to process. If we didn't have that in the way of communication, I locked myself up inside myself to be myself and know myself. I opened myself like a gutted fish that my granddaddy made me gut those fish, and my brother would go, because he couldn't stand to gutting the fish. And I thought to myself, I'm like that fish. I am gutting myself open. And then it goes to the Sermon of the Mount, where Jesus performed his first miracle with the fish, feeding the 7,000 people. And there Simon became Peter. Uh-oh. Hello? I think that I've got to change my earplug. Okay, no, that was somebody calling in. I'm sorry. That's my daughter, Ashley Lee. She forgets that I'm on the air. Okay. Anyways, where was I? Okay, God, center me back. Center me back. Bring me back. I started going to counseling. They took this, Dr. David took my first EPT or PEPC test, and he put these wires to my head. And I had to look at the computer screen. I had to keep one. He said, what kind of icon do you want? Or avatar? And so I picked a spaceship. There was three of them on the screen and in the computer. One far, far to the left, one in the center, and one far to the right. I had to keep the center airplane at the tip top of the screen for him to measure my PSI. And he said, and I thought, is that why my blood races in my hands and feet? Is when I'm on the PSI. All the energies and entities in me evolving. He would have to go, come back. That's why I always do that, because he taught me that. He taught me how to put things in one hand and in the other. He taught me, I went off the charts, by the way, with the airplane. I was his first one that ever was the guinea pig, and now he is very well known for that. Dr. David, I love you, man. You're like my brother. So I started working with him. And the first, my first writings came from him teaching me if I was doing the right, because you know I'm so ADD. And I'm so dyslexic as the way I spell sounds like it. And sometimes I don't even know what I'm saying and things. And so anyway, Aaliyah, I have to say Aaliyah because I have to go back to where I started from. And processes with David, Dr. David, and he taught me this to get over the PTSD. He said, now close your mind and close your eyes. We're going to go back into a movie theater. I want you to sit in the very, very back row. Do you want to sit on the left side or the right side? I said, I want to sit in the middle. He says, no, you can't sit in the middle. You have to sit on the left side or the right side in the very top row of a movie theater. Now we're going to look at the screen. That's going to be like your rear view mirror in your mind. Now in your, since you're left-handed, you're sitting on the left. Now we're going to go forward in all the memories of everything that happened to me. And then I went through it. I put everything that happened to me from being in that parking lot, being in my car, and where that guy jumped into my car's window at that grocery store. He broke off the key to the ignition. He broke off the gear shift knob. He locked the doors, and he started biting me all over my body. But you know how I got out of the car? I said, in Jesus' name, Almighty God, I rebuke, with and bind you, Satan, in the name of God Almighty, and I cast you out into the pits of burning hell and fire and brimstone. And bam, the car door opened after 2 hours of that. And I got out of the car because I believed. I saw my whole life. He would choke me until I go unconscious, and then he'd bring me back. And he said, if I don't kill you tonight, I'll kill you tomorrow. And I went through all that in the movie theater. I know this is very difficult for some of you to hear and comprehend, but this is my story, and I need to tell it for you to know who I am and how I evolved into who I am as I evolve each and every moment of every day, because I stay in the precious moment. And then I had to go forward in the movie theater in my mind. And my third eye, he taught me how to do the rearview mirror. And in my third eye, I was in the movie theater. I could adjust the rearview mirror to look and reflect back. I had a blind spot, though. I had to look over my shoulder to see the memories of some of the things. This took many, many sessions. And then I had to sit on the right side of the screen. and go revert backwards from getting out of the car all the way back to when he jumped into my car window. Every single last drop of memory. Thus placing the black and white screen of reverting it back into my mind. Backwards, it went just like you do with a circle. It circled around and made its completion. Before all this happened, I had studied with the Seneca Reservation grandmothers. I had done the sweat lodges where they take these humongous rocks and they cook them on a pit fire for 3 days. I had to cut and tie 21 prayer ties with the 21-inch piece of string without being able to cut it. I had to learn how to tie it. And we used pink and shear so that the material didn't shear. It had to be exactly 1 inch by 1 inch. I took five means change. So it's evidently wanting me to change something. Okay, because I said five instead of seven. Seven's the completion of everything. I have to go back. Let's revolve back. Bridget is the one that took me there. She's the one that took me to the sweat lodge in West Virginia. We weren't allowed to take pictures. Carl had been through the Sundance, and he was the medicine man. Bridget kept walking around saying she was pregnant. I said, "Are you getting ready to birth me?" And she said, "Yes." And thus, my shamanism ways started. For I cut seven white pieces of material, seven red pieces of material, and seven black pieces of material. I put a pinch of red band tobacco into the center. And I had to loop and fold the ties exactly a fourth of an inch apart to make it 21 inches long. It's really hard to explain. They were like on top of each other, but they tied just right. With 21 inches, and it was 21 prayer ties. That's how you learn to do the shamanic ways. And then we went into the pit. It was dark. It was thick. It was dark. Man, it was so dark. We wore just a t-shirt. I didn't know what was going on. Bridget just said, "Just stay with me. Just stay with me. Just stay with me." The bottom where we put our feet was bored out in a circle. And you sat on top of the clay. In the center of the circle was this big, huge dugout hole where Bob, the big man, Bob, where you see Giz on my page. She's the one standing at the ocean, and she's the one holding with Bridget the hawk wing, cleansing it with sage and with sweetgrass for the giveaway at the Seneca Reservation grandmothers. Well, Bob, he picked up these rocks with this humongous pitchfork, and there must have been hundreds of layers of a tent. It was a big pup tent, but it was layered and layered and layered and layered and layered with cloth. Inside, he said, "All you strong women in here." I said, "I'm not. I'm not. I got to get out of here. I can't breathe." So thus, I held the door. I was the doorkeeper. Kashi Waki Keegan. He would go, "Anamisawarekenaoya. Anamisawkawena. Anamisawkawena." And I had to open the door as fast as possible with this other woman that didn't want to get in there either. And she gave me her three children had made this ring for her, and she gave me that ring because I said it was beautiful, and it was an amethyst. And after we opened the door, people just pow out of there. And they lay on the floor and they, because it is hot. It's why it's called a sweat lodge. Because you're in the dark and you get to the deep root of your guts. And I'm telling you what, I was the doorkeeper, so I got all the energies of everybody's stuff flowing at me. Had to cleanse it, purify it, and throw it back out there. So I was the one with the red man tobacco. I gave it to Carl for the ceremonies, and we smoked the peace pipe, a very long peace pipe. You hold it out with your dominant hand. You pop on it, and your arm is extended all the way so. You turn it circular, clockwise, back to yourself, and then pass it to the one on your right. You see, you're going clockwise with the motion, then you're passing it with a blessing. And it goes all the way around the circle of all the people that have been in the sweat lodge. After the peace pipe is smoked, back into the sweat lodge you go. And there, my prayer cloth hung for my son, Jason, my daughter, Ashley, and my son, Matthew, and what was happening with my marriage breaking up. And bam, when I got back, you never knew where Bridget was going to take it, because it was going to be on a trip somewhere in an adventure. We got back. We slept on a futon with people piled on top of each other. And when we got back in, hello. Betty, I'm telling a story. What are you doing? I'm telling about my life.
I'm listening to your story, and I just wanted to call to say I love listening to your radio show. And also, I can't believe, I think you should be a poet because you can tell stories so well. Have you ever thought about
Betty,
writing?
Betty. This is Betty, everybody, from the Was Club. Women who are special, women who are strong. And she and I drew each other in the first grade.
You drew my picture in the first grade.
Yes, ma'am. And maybe we're in the third grade with Miss Teuton Tucker.
That's right. But anyway, I'm just listening to your story.
But anyway,
I want to tell listeners out there, it's really worth
listening to. I'm telling how I evolved, man, and how I woke up. And Betty, you can stay right here with me, and I'll tell you about it.
Okay, please do.
Okay. Well, anyway, because we haven't talked in a while, and you know, maybe always goes, anyway, oh, yeah, and that brings me back to my thought process. And so I was sitting there thinking, you know, where is Bridget going to take me next? We ended up, she said, we're going to play bingo. She said, we're going down the road. We ended up from Charlotte, North Carolina, all the way at not Sedona, but the Seneca Reservation near Niagara Falls in New York.
Mm-hmm.
She took me to the 12-sided lodge, and there were several grandmothers. You're given a grandmother.
Now, who took you here?
Huh?
I'm sorry, I might have missed the last part. Who was taking you here?
Bridget took me with Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
And Giz. Giz is the one that, her husband was the one, Bob, that put the big rocks in the pit fire for the sweat lodge.
Oh.
So I ended up, and we had to beat the drum, Betty,
mm-hmm.
for all the whole time for Mother Earth. It goes, dun, 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 dun.
Uh-huh.
And it's a big, I was just given by my friend Julia the site where Jennifer is dressed up with the hawk wing on her, beating the drum and telling the story of the Seneca Reservation. That's when I started collecting stones even up more, because when we were little, we had to pick up stones in the yard for our punishment.
So
I have always seen
from all over the
like
place.
Rocks.
Rocks. You collect rocks.
And Grandmother Twyla told me in the very big center, there were these huge rocks, and it was a circle. And she said, you sit there and hold on to those rocks. You hold on to the rock, and you look in the rock, and you see the images in the rock, because the rock people talk to you. And I was like, the rock people talk to me?
Yeah, that doesn't sound very, you know,
well, Betty, it
works.
It works, because I tell you what, it centered me. And God says, I will build your house upon this rock.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And so that was the centering of my shamanism being woken up.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yes, and I was singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And they went together. And Bridget and I were twirling around outside looking up at the sun, at the stars. And a UFO hovered over us. Well, Grant Spider went running in the lodge because I went, there's a UFO! And I got it on tape because the tape caught everything.
Mm-hmm.
Where she ran in the lodge and told Grandmother Twala that there was a UFO up there. It only hovered for a little bit.
Oh.
But we got pictures of it, and we got every, you know, oh, it's just really great.
Oh, wow.
You have to get on the pages.
I'm a
CD. Yeah. And so I asked, and they said they were green, or are they gray? And I said, I don't know. I said, I just know you're there. And anyway, so after that, it was magical. We had to learn to eat off the ground. We could not eat anything but the cloves, the nuts of the acorn trees. We had to learn to survive off the ground in case of nuclear war.
How old were you when this was going?
This was back in 1992.
92. Okay.
And, this was in 92.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to CPCC.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I was losing my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was evolving so deeply. I was losing the way to think
and
louder rootering out my brain to listen with my heart.
You have lost a lot in your life and had a hard time, but you've also gained a lot in your life, Kathy.
I've gained so much, Betty. This is the story that I'm telling about how I gained it.
Right. So much from just living, from experience of life. It you know,
we have to unfold everything to look at.
It makes you stronger, and it certainly has made you stronger and more. I think you're very religious, but I think you're more spiritual, too.
Exactly. Thank you, Betty.
Mm-hmm.
Begonia.
So true.
Uh-huh. And you know, it's really neat for people on the outside, on my real life world. I call this my real life world because
mm-hmm.
I'm on the internet, which is like my where I put the hundreds of thousands of links in there to tell the story of balance and all that stuff. And all the, you know, you can put in Bright Lights Pathfinder's Amen or Bright Lights Pathfinder's Code or Bright Lights Pathfinder's Angel or Bright Lights Pathfinder's Look, See, Hear, Know, Do. It's like the concepts were born. And
right.
So it took 7 years.
And spiritual and religion are different. They're normally hand in hand, so persons normally. But it is a different thing, though, too. And
right.
You seem to be very spiritual and very religious at the same time, which
right.
is very good.
However, religion is a controlled environment,
mm-hmm.
you see. So I say I'm very Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't like to go to a controlled environment.
Right.
Because you have to do things their way. It's like a club.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to go and listen. But I haven't been. I go to a non-denominational church, but I also go to the Hickory Grove Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway.
Well,
I'll
let you get back with your show, but I just wanted to call and say what amazing. I think you're a fantastic radio host, talker.
Daddy.
And also, I just wanted to say. But, you know, I think you need to start writing. I can tell by your ability.
Betty,
honey. You should be
you haven't learned about me, but I've got over almost a million links in the internet of all my writings and teachings.
Well, I didn't even know, Kathy.
I know, because we hadn't talked in so long since the wedding.
Well, I
and
have
before
to
that,
get on and read them and look at them. I want to see
yeah, it's
published.
Bright Lights Pathfinders, and you can put in any word behind that, Betty.
It will
bring up what you want.
Okay, dear. Well, I got to get to bed. I got to get up early. But
okay, did Natalie get off all right?
Pardon me?
Natalie get off on her
trip? She's going tomorrow, and she's looking for you a stone in Washington.
Yes, thank goodness. I told her to get me a stone.
Right. She's going to look for you a stone in Washington.
She'll know the stone when she sees it.
Okay.
Because you know what? That is the most precious thing you can bring back because it's the oldest thing on the earth.
Natalie told me you told her that, and she's
yes.
going to look for those things.
So that's how the same people came about in me. I love you, girl.
I love you, too. Good luck, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Betty Sala Bacunya, and she is like one of my first grade friends, kindergarten, actually. We have probably 20 of us, Betty, that have come around, and I have one tape called Only Debbie Knows, which is Debbie Pooper Cooper's people. And she is the one that tape recorded me when I was waking up, and I was doing that meditation about the baby soft spot in my head opening up, and please birth out. So, let's see. Center. Okay. Breathe in from my abdomen. Breathe out. Now, I'm going to walk around a minute, and I'm going to wake up from that acknowledgement. It took 7 years of transformation to become a shaman. And it is very rough, rough life if you aren't prepared for it. But I had many, many different tools along the way. My tools were a little bit rusty, so I had to get them back out from my childhood and remember how to use my tools, like powerlessness and people, places, and things, because I was a counselor for chemically dependent adolescents. So I learned the 12-step program. I learned codependency no more. I learned AA versus NA. I learned so many things. And then I was like a sponsor for these children that were in these places trying to quit the drugs. They'd throw chairs at me and everything. It didn't matter because I could kind of throw them off. But that was one of the hardest things I ever did. Plus, I was going to the counseling myself for, to be in rape. And so, and with my kids along the way, and the divorce, and my mother-in-law worked at the college. I went to visit Broughton. I went to see my little cousin that ate lead paint at Broughton. Broughton's not what people think that it is. It's a really beautiful place where the special, special people cannot do anything for themselves. But I learned to talk to Lynn, my cousin, and communicate with her a special way that they said that nobody else could communicate with her. But I watched her eyes. If she got really excited, they dilated. And when she got really to where we were on the wrong thing, they went to PennDOT. That time she knew what I was talking about. And so I asked her if she had a boyfriend. And she went, and laid her head right down on my lap. But when I was trying to pick out which one it was, she would pull away, and her eyes would get real PennDOT small. Which, see, she didn't mean to eat the lead paint. She was teething on the baby bed. And that was back in the day when she's my age, so, or maybe 2 years younger than me. But she's in there, and she knows what's going on. But they didn't think she did. So I study, and that's where Pete comes into the story. Pete was part of the group that went to Broughton. And anyway, that was 1992. And he met my kids and Bridget. And there's the whole group of everybody came over to our house. And oh, it was just a grand thing. And I went to my first drumming circle that year. And I went and listened to White Eagle. I learned what White Eagle was. I learned why I saw the animals with me all the time. And I wrote the story, Dreamland, the Land of Forget-Me-Nots. That's where the animals go and sprinkle the dream dust down upon the land of the living until they're ready to go to heaven when the next animal that's in our life goes up there. It's at the cup of the Big Dipper. And Twinkle Twinkle Little Star is at the tip of the Big Dipper, which I didn't know. But all our memories, all of our feelings, all of our wishes are cast into Twinkle. So Twinkle, if you look at yourself, sometimes you see these little gold flakes on your body. Well, you see, that's the dream dust where Fee-Fi-Fo-Fum, Abby-Doogie-Dum, Manit-Nit-Tum, Shoogly-Doo-Zapoogie-Hee-Nit-Nit-In-The-Bud, to the Fee-Fi Girl, come to Mama's. That was my Cocker Spaniel's name. And her daughter, Hee-hee, puppy, lee, nip, nip, then the bud to the peepaw girls come to mama's. And my bird, Barney, burn, burn, Beatrice to the bend, bend, pretty boy, Floyd, they all died within 3 weeks apart. I lost 5 animals from April the 17th until April the 17th the following year within a 15-minute window frame. Longevity animals that I had for a long, long time. My bird would play hide-and-go-seek, and it would say, hello, Bernie. Hello, Burn Burn. Hello, Burn Burn. Good morning. Good morning. And we would play tag. It's his oral parakeet. But anyway, oh well, after that, center. Because I'm going into another stage of my life. I moved out of my home so that my children could not be upset with being changed. Of Marty was my best friend. We just were best friends, and that's all there was to it. But I didn't want my children to be moved out of the home, and he was the breadwinner. So I moved in with Bridget, or I moved in with Cynthia, or I moved in with, I went to Atlanta a lot to live with Marcia. But I lived out of my car because my family thought that I had left my husband. I'm not going to get into anything else of that, but I lived out of my car with no help from anybody except for I did get a little $100 check once a month because Marty did give me the car payment money, which was an Acura, and it was a $400 a month car payment. So I lived off, after the car was paid off, he gave me $400 out of the equity of the house. And that was where I met Ronnie. And Ronnie and I had a beautiful relationship, but he was on Good Morning America. He was also did the Star Search music for Brit Savage, and she won the Star Search, and she does the jingles. See, and that's how I met Brit. And they worked for the Jason Craig Band, and he came moving down here from New Jersey. And we loved each other to death, but I just couldn't get over leaving my family and my children. And it broke us to pieces. He gave me Puppy Wuppy Girly Whirly. Yes, hers is. Hers really, really is the all. Hers new name is Twinkle Twinkle Long Tongue Liquor Liquor Labor Dog. Pimento Cheese, Peanut Butter and Jelly Sandwich, Salami Bologna, and Sylvania Light Bulb today. And she comes to Mama's. That's my dog I got now. And she's 12 years old. So that was 12 years ago. Well, when I moved out, it was very difficult because he said, I've always lived with my parents, with my children, which were old enough then, and with a husband, and then with him for a little while, and other people. And it was time for me to get on my own and learn about me. And he said, we're holding hands going into the forest, but we have to let go in the forest and learn from the wea tree. And so that's where I learned to take my rocks that I picked up for punishment and place them into a riverbed, you see, along the way. Because the riverbed is what makes the waterfalls, what makes the creek beds, what feeds into the springs, what feeds into the lakes, what feeds into the ponds, what feeds into the ocean. The water is cleansing of oneself. When we go into the bathroom, we're cleansing of oneself. When it rains, it's cleansing. Everything a teardrop to cleanse. So that's where Always Come to Me in the Midst of the Rain came from, that poem that's on YouTube. Because after Ronnie and I split up, Pete was in my life as a good friend. And then I went to the beach for a while. When I came back, I went to work for Kinko's for a while. Loved that job. But that's when that happened to me, the PTSD. So here I am, then my father passed away, and as he was passing away, we made promises to one another. In each other's eyes, we made our memories looking at one another. And we said, babe, and you can hear that song on my, it's the archive for my dad's legacy on the 13th of March. It's a little, all I did was take my cell phone and hold it up to the picture, and I did a little video to it, and then I emailed it to myself. And then you open a photo bucket account. They're free, but you can't open up too much with a free one, or you can pay $29.95 and get unlimited access. And that's where I upload my photographs. They have all kinds of ways to mess with your photographs in photo bucket. I'm guarded angel in photo bucket. And so anytime you see the tag Guarded Angel with my images and their watermark, because they tell you how to watermark it, or you can watermark them, and you can't see it unless you hold it up to the light, my writings and stuff. I've got it so hidden. why I know once you are in the internet, you're published. Did you know that? That's the truth. And it's your property and material. Another way that I copyright my material is to call the poor man's way. I go to, we have stores all along the way, companies, and my dad did, and he told me, he said, all you have to do, honey, is get Jim to notarize it, and then you just mail it back to your self-certified mail, but just don't open it, the original one, ever, because that's meaning, and you sign it with him and date it, and it's certified mail, and it's copywritten. That's another way to copyright. So that's how I started, you know. And I tell you, one great, great book. I wish I could remember the author's name, but I know it's in some of my journal entries. It's called The Calling, and it taught me a lot. I told you I've only read a few books, and I'm very selective, but Dr. David gave me this book, The Calling. And it's like your intrusive fire. You have to yearn for what you're wanting to know. And I believe I read pieces of that at my first archives, if you want to hear some of it. But, you know, it makes going to school for counseling, you have to rip everything out of your gut and see it so that you don't, when you're with a client, that you see a mirror image of a shadow of something that they bring up that they need to be worked on, and you have a devastation in front of you. So you have to work and work and work and get all the debris out. At the same time, I was going to Dr. David. So we were back and forth. Oh, and the first job after my kids was a cart. This woman came up to me. Her name was Linda. She said, I have just been in New York City, and the hottest thing on the market today is Starbucks. So we got a little, at CPCC, we got a little cart out, and we made espressos for people during breaks. Or either I was in the art galleries, you know, showing the artwork. But I would take, you know, my whole day and spend it at Central Piedmont Community College. I went to Western Carolina University in Colloway first. But then my hamstring shredded from all the exercises I did and being on the boys gymnastic, boys track team on the 100-yard dash because I was fast. I would pretend like somebody was behind me getting ready to get me, and I'd get that song in my head going, and every time I'd go, I thought somebody was at my back with something in their hand going, and I mean, that was my pattern. And I could run like you would believe. And then Mady and I did gymnastics together and Beth Diamond. And we would go and learn to do roundoffs and stuff in the trampoline. Well, my hamstring shredded, the backs of my hamstring legs. I was to get married, and this was in May, and I was to get married in June. So therefore, the preacher came in and he said, okay, Kathy, if you believe and know, not wish or want or desire, but you just know that if you do your dedications, here I was again dedicating again. No, this was my first dedication of really hard dedicating, because we rebirth over and over and over again, born again, again and again and again and again and again until we evolve, until we still evolve in the heavens bounds, because we have jobs there as well, Daddy said. I'll tell you that story in a minute. He came to me on the third day and told me all about things. Well, anyway, dinner. Bring me back.